I'll start you off with a little story today. Kyle, I thought of you when I read this story. Not at the end, but because it's about a large dog. A large dog walks into a butcher shop carrying a purse in its mouth. He puts the purse down and sets in front of the meat counter. "What is it, boy?" the butcher asked jokingly. "Do you want to buy some meat?" "Woof!" barks the dog. "Hmm," says the butcher. "What kind? Liver? Bacon? Steak?" "Woof!" interrupts the dog. "Okay. How much steak? 1/2 pound? 1 pound?" "Woof!" But the butcher, he's amazed. So he goes, he cuts the meat, he wraps it up, and he finds the money in the dog's purse, takes it out. And as the dog's leaving, he decides, you know, "I'm going to follow this dog." Well, down the street they go, and then up into an apartment building, and the dog enters the apartment house, and he climbs to the 3rd floor. But then he begins to scratch at the door. With that, the door swings open, and an angry man starts shouting at the dog, "What's with you?" And he's yelling at the dog. And the butcher yells, "Stop! Stop yelling at the dog! He's the most intelligent animal I've ever seen." "Intelligent? You mean you call my dog intelligent? This is the 3rd time this week he's forgot his key." How do you look at things? All right, some people are never happy, no matter how or what their circumstances are. It's to this, it's to that. Not big enough, it's way too small. Every time I say that, I'm going to go ahead and say it in it. I kept thinking about, in our house, somebody gets a piece of pumpkin pie. Oh, man, that could have been a little bigger. Okay, so you make it a little bigger. And then you put the Cool Whip on it, of course, right? Is that all? Can I have some more? Well, they're not satisfied. And then when you plop it on, they say, "Oh, that's too much. Can you take a little back?" And I say, "Shut up and eat it. Enjoy." You know. Anyhow. All right. Well, people, they believe their reasoning to be a logical and justifiable argument to excuse their actions and attitude for the way they look at things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." Have we learned that secret yet? We're probably working on it. I know I am. Am I content all the time? No. But I'm human. I'm working on it, though. Because God's working on me, a kinder, more gentler Jack. So Teresa keeps saying, year after year after year. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Amplified Bible says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving." Oh, there's a key. Thanksgiving. "Continue to make your specific request known to God." You don't have to be generalized with it. Be very specific. He likes when you're specific. I did that when I bought a 1988 Tracer. I prayed for everything on that vehicle that I wanted, including the gas mileage, everything. I prayed for how long I wanted to have that car because I was traveling back and forth to Pittsburgh. And that four-wheel drive truck with them big old monster tires and everything on it, it was a tank up and a tank back. And that was stupidity on the seed. So I got that. I prayed to God exactly. But there's one thing I didn't pray for. I didn't pray for air conditioning. I wished I would have. But everything else I got in that car, to the day my brother said, you got to retire the car. 289,000 miles I had on that vehicle. And he said, I'm just not going to put a sticker on it again. I mean, the major thing I had happen to that was the belt wore out on it, and I got Ford to replace it for free after 200,000 miles. I said, it shouldn't have worn out by then. But that vehicle, like I say, if you're specific, you'll get exactly what you want. I got the mileage I wanted. That thing could run. I mean, I would say, oh, it's 60,000 miles. They didn't change the oil yet. That was me, and I'm normally not like that. That car was just remarkable. That car was stupendous. Bob could never catch me. He tried. Never could. He just would say, there he goes. When I'd pass him on 376. I actually was going down that highway one day and had the state police pull up next to me. And he said, son, you need to slow down. And I looked over and he was right next to me and I was doing 85. I'm like, okay. Hey, when you're out there at 4:30 in the morning, you're headed to work, there's somebody on the road. You just cruise. And like I say, Bob will testify because that's all he would do. Go, that was it, gone. But I was surprised. He never stopped me. He just pulled up next to me along with this. Say, slow down. I slowed down. He went up ahead of me. Praise God. Yeah, God had favor on somebody who was as stupid as I was back then. Well, okay, Thanksgiving. When you start your prayer with a simple thank you to him, it goes a long way, folks. It goes a long way. A prayer of thanksgiving is a prayer that expresses gratitude, appreciation, and thanks to God for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he is going to do. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Don Moen's song, Give Thanks. It goes, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Makes you look at Christmas a little differently, doesn't it? In Psalm 92, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. We need to be thankful for what we have. We've all seen that person who has had everything in their life go wrong and every obstacle come against them. And still, somehow, they have that good outlook and an optimism about their life. So when you see and hear the kids from the commercials for Children's Hospital and you see what they face daily, we see examples of courage, optimism, from their example of living with their illness and their disability. That speaks to our hearts, and it turns our focus inward instead of outward, causing us to realize we don't have much or few valid reasons to truly complain about anything, do we? Mm-mm. We are truly blessed, people. We are truly blessed. Take a look. When you pick up that child of yours, when you pick up that grandchildren, or great-grandchild, and you look at them, you say, man, I'm blessed. Even though they may keep you up all night. You know? You got to love them. They're yours. And you do. When they seem to go in your hand, did you ever notice everything around just melts like butter? Because you got the world in your hand. You got life. The Thanksgiving holiday a couple weeks back reminded us to be thankful. It reminded us and it allowed us to do the self-reflection thing once a year that we should be doing all year long. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, 15 of the Amplified Bible. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with Him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. Say, I'm a believer. And be thankful to God always. We are to be thankful to Him. Always. Don't get upset with your Heavenly Father. A lot of times these things that come up against you, they're not from Him. We know where they come from. And there's a lot of times, guess who's caused them? And I got to take that mirror and say, oh, what did I just do? Or what did I just say? I don't want to say no more of that thing. You know? It's controlling that tongue too. A big thing there. But we ought to be thankful. Thankful. Always being thankful. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 of the New Living Translation, and whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, and come with Him into the presence of God the Father to give Him your thanks. Anytime you approach Him, I thank You, Father. I thank You that You heard my prayers. I thank You, Lord God, as I bring this request unto You. I know that You hear me and I know that You answer me. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for loving me. Because He loves you. He loves you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the New King James. We are to continually continue in earnest prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You know, just because you're a Christian, does it mean that everything's always going to be a bed of roses? I just asked you a question. Just because you're a Christian, do you think everything's going to be a bed of roses? No. It's a walk. We're all in this walk. But we can overcome. We can reign in victory because we reign in victory with Him. That's what the Word already says. In Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. Of the NIV, David writes this. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Man, confidently, I will fear no evil. Says, for You are with me. He says, You're with me. He knows God's with him. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. David was going through a dark valley. And this scripture here says it was the darkest valley. But even then, he didn't fear. He had no fear of what might happen because the Lord's promise to walk beside him was there. And he knew that. He knew that because he was worded up. He was worded up because he knew what the scripture said. He knew what Deuteronomy 31:6 of the Amplified Classic Edition says. It says, be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. David was worded up. He was always reading the book of the law. He was reading them. It worked for David, folks. You need to word up. If you don't stay worded up, when things come, it's a little hard to get through them. But if you're pre-worded up, when they come, you'll handle them a lot better. You'll get through them a lot quicker. With a lot less aggravation. See, the Lord is our protector. He can and will lead us through the dark and difficult valleys. He goes through them with us. He goes through them with you. In Psalm 56, verse 9 through 11, David says, "This one thing I know, God is for me." How about you? Can you say that? "For this one thing that I know, above and beyond, God is for me." Verse 10, "I'm trusting God." Oh, praise His promises. His promises are His word. Verse 11, "I am not afraid of anything mere man can do to me." What can man do to you? If God is for you, what can mere man do to you? Nothing. He may try, but he's going to lose. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Always remember that. You're never alone. The devil may want to try to convince you that you are alone, but you're never alone. No matter what you're going through, no matter how long a sickness may hang in there. Yeah, they do hang in there sometimes quite long. But realize that Christ is there. He is still Jehovah Rapha. The valley may be dark, but there's light at the end of the valley. David had experienced so many victories in his life. Hundreds, possibly thousands. And yet, there were still times that his journey took him through the valleys of life as well as ours does. David was sure of the one thing. God would never let go in every high and in every low. He would never let go. Through the calm, even through the storm, God doesn't let go. When you're going through a great time, you know, "Oh, I'm here with God." Then all of a sudden the dark comes, you go, "Don't go, huh?" They go, "Whoa, pull a little closer." That's what you need to do. Pull a little closer. And that light will shine. You'll no longer be threatened by that darkness. Sometimes when you're going through something and you start to wonder why, well, it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing to question why these circumstances happen to me or to my family. It's natural. But it's also a great time for us to recognize going through the valley. You hear what I said? Going through the valley. And that means exactly what it says. The fact you're going through something doesn't mean you're staying there. You're going through. Take confidence. You're going through. You will go through that dark valley. Sometimes we forget, while things seem like they're moving slow, that as long as we're thankful and our faith remains in God, we're still moving. We're still moving. We'll make it through that valley. God is still working all things for our good behind the scenes, setting us up for a healing and a victory. You do believe that, don't you? Because you should. And you will hear it loudly when you step through it. There was no doubt about it. Because that's what your Holy Spirit's going to say inside you. There was no doubt about it on their end. See, it's on our end that doubt and unbelief tries to come in. But as long as we don't, the Holy Spirit's saying all the time, there was no doubt about it.
That was easy.
Praise God. In Psalm 46, verse 1, the NIV. Psalm 46, verse 1, the NIV. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. Ever-present is used to describe something that is always there. And when it comes to God, when you look ever-present, it puts you right over to the word omnipresent, which means God is present everywhere at the same time. I know your mind goes, God's present everywhere at the same time? He's with me. He's with Brother Denny. He's with Flo. Yeah, he is. He's ever-present. All the time. And your mind is sitting there going, that's the whole problem. He's God, and that's your mind. We deal with the mind all the time, don't we, Tabby? Mind. It can make you think crazy things. That's why it's a battlefield. And the way you defeat it, you stay worded up. Word up. Even though sometimes circumstances make it difficult to have hope and optimism, it's in those times we're still to be rejoicing and thankful. It's in times of trials we are still to be very, very thankful to Him. The times we experience in the valleys of life, when we feel like all we have to hang on to is God, those are the times we should realize the only thing we have ever had to hang on to was God. Elijah was a man who performed many miracles for God because God was the one working through him. Elijah had so much to be thankful about, for he had experienced many victories. Perhaps one of his greatest was when his God, the one true God, annihilated 450 prophets of Baal. You would have thought Elijah would have been flying high. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19. That takes you way back, don't it? First Kings 19. We're going to start there at verse 1. We're going to go 1 through 11. Okay. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of those by tomorrow at the same time. And when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. I can just hear the angels now. Lord, we got a runner. Hey, Lord, we got a runner. And the Lord says, I know. I know. I know all things. I see all things. But do you know why Jezebel didn't take him out right then and there? After what the people just saw in the sacrifices, right? What happened to that bull that was soaked with all that water, all that wood? Three times. Couldn't have lit. When he prayed to God, what happened? Woof, gone. He said, okay, God, there's one over there they've been trying to do all day. All of it gone. God said, okay, now, let's go take care of these boys. 450 of them. Gone. Even the greatest warriors, though, sometimes are swayed by their circumstances. See, the accuser wants you to believe that you're only as good as your last victory. God wants you to believe you're better than your next victory. God doesn't want us to look backwards. He wants us to look towards the future with anticipation, with expectation, and with excitement. Excitement for what He's going to do. What He's going to do. Because there's nothing He cannot do. While you're there, I'm just going to... In Isaiah 42, verse 18, says, but forget all that, what I've done. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, he says. For I'm going to do a brand new thing. That's the Lord speaking. You know what he was telling? You ain't seen nothing yet, son. That's what he's telling all of us. You ain't seen nothing yet. He takes you through one thing and you think, wow, you ain't seen nothing yet. He's got so much more in the plans for you. Not just a plan, plans, I said. He's got plans for you. That's what his word says, plans. Okay, verse 4. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Have you been there? Have you been there? Hey, it's enough, right? You go from a victory all of a sudden right to boom. He wanted to quit. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and sleep under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and munch. Come on, munch. Then he looked, and there by his head was a pizza on the coals. This exact same recipe as the pizzeria. And a jar of water. Purified water. Reverse osmosis type water. So he ate and he drank. And he lay down again. And the Lord and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise, munch it some more. Come on, munch. Because the journey is too great for you. So he arose, and he ate, and he drank some more. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Makes you wonder, 40. 40, it's a time of chastisement. It's a time of trials. Or it's a time of probation. The process or period of testing or observing the character of a person. So the whole time he's making his journey, kicking the can and whining and crying. And, oh, but Lord, you know, I know you're with me, but he's just walking along and taking his time. Took him 40 days. The guy was watching him, listening to the words. Fine, you've been there. I've been there. Verse 9. And there he went into a cave, and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I am all alone. I'm the only one left. And they seek to take my life. Okay? But here is God's revelation to him. Then the voice said to him, he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Okay, the Lord's coming. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. The Lord was found. Sometimes we look for God to do the obvious because we've both seen and heard of God doing miraculous things. Elijah was no different than you or I. We're not always going to find God in the obvious, doing things in the natural that we can witness happen the moment we want things to happen. Because that would surely be a miracle, because it's right there in front of you. But sometimes you've prayed and prayed and prayed for something, and when it does happen, you don't even realize that it was a miracle that took place. You don't even say thank you. I know people that have gone through something, and they get done through it, and they don't even say thank you, Lord. It's like, what's a given? It's a given? I know He loves you, but come on, can't you just say thank you? Right. Not hard. Now, but see, even though you see something happen right away, that does not mean that God's mad or upset with you, or that God's not working behind the scenes continually in a still, small voice. We can only hear with our ears of faith that brings things about, doing and making the impossible become possible in our lives. Because in the Passion Bible of Matthew 19, 26, the Passion Translation, Matthew 19, 26, what seems impossible to you is never impossible to God. Never. It's what the Word says. Is the Word true? Boy, that was real weak. I thought I'd hear, yes, it is. It's true. And I believe the Word. Because the Word works. The Word changes things. And for that, we should be doing one thing. We should be raising our hallelujah, should we not? We should be raising a hallelujah and eternally be thankful, and especially for our restored relationship with the Lord, our Creator, through His Son, Jesus Christ. See, He cares more than enough to have your well-being as His primary focus. See, He leaves no details unattended to in your life. He knows everything there is to know about you. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, the Passion Translation. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. He put you together. Tim, that goes with what you just said. The potter takes the clay, he takes us, and he forms us. He puts you together. Verse 14. You gotta like this. The psalmist said, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. You are mysteriously made complex. You're complex. Science and the medical profession have been trying to figure it out, and they still can't figure out how the egg and the sperm do what they do. They're not sure. They've theorized it. They're not sure. They still can't figure out DNA. They're working on it. They're working on it. And they shouldn't be messing with some of the stuff they're messing with there. But yeah, I can see the benefits to it. But you are so complex. So do you think you just happened? You just think about it for a minute. You couldn't have just happened. It just didn't boom. And all of a sudden, there was the world we live in, and then there were we. And we started to multiply. it just doesn't happen. Somebody had to create it and make it happen. Let's continue there with that verse. It says, everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. See, Tim, marvelously breathtaking. You can say, I am marvelously breathtaking. Say that.
I am marvelously breathtaking.
Yeah, you're breathtaking. Amen. Nikki knows that's why he spends so much time. Puts a little scarf on once in a while. Puts a little thing in his pocket. And shines. And walks on those shoes that are about 6 inches high. He's breathtaking. But so are you. So are you, because he formed you. And he goes on to say, the psalmist says, it simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. He knows you. He knows you because he created you. And he created all of us in his image. In his image. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, modern English version, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Man and female, he created them. He knew it took a man and a woman. Male and female, he created. He made you specifically who you were. He knew what he was doing when he formed you in the womb. He knew exactly who you were going to be. He knew what you were going to accomplish. And once you get to know him, you'll know who you are in Christ Jesus. Each of us were individually handcrafted by God in our mother's wombs. Each one of us for a purpose and plans to make an impact on this world we live in, the world he created. God may have called you to visit and minister to people in nursing or skilled living facilities. Or he may have called you to minister to those in a county jail. He may have called you to work in Fit for a King clothing ministry, to teach and to minister in children's church here, to be involved in the ministry of helps, the ministry of helps in areas like Vacation Bible School, the Easter celebration, the Fall Carnival, lawn maintenance. Yeah, there's a lot of lawn here to maintain. Building maintenance and repairs. It's a big building. And it was constructed in 92. Cleaning and organizing in this building. And then there's all the fellowships to be involved with and the dinners that we have. It's called Helps Ministry. Helps Ministry. Having enough loving people serving. When you do it as unto him, makes a difference. It's the attitude you have towards it. Serving people. Having enough loving people serving. The still small voice that you're hearing, that's God speaking to you. Calls you into that jail ministry, you go. Calls you down to Smith's. He calls you out there to the rehab center, you go. Well, I'm the only one. Go. They will follow. Your help will come. I place it on your heart. You set the example. They'll follow after you. As Elijah found God in a still small voice, so will you when you are quiet for a moment and just listen. You ever been at the Turchetti household? especially when Tim and Jenna get going. It's hard to get a word in. No, just a little bit. And Jenna's just got a smile, and Chris is sitting there saying, I ain't saying a word. I'm staying out of this. Well, God, he will be in contact. He's got to be listening. Sometimes when the odds seem so great and the mountains seem so large for us, though, the best we can find or even muster is a small voice of praise. Praise. Sometimes a small voice of praise is all we have to give back to God when we're in the middle of that valley. But praise, as small as it is powerful. It's powerful. Raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah in the middle of the storm. And as you do, you will become stronger and stronger, causing you to get louder and louder, leading you to victory. You know, fancy or eloquent words and some big, long, rehearsed prayer, that's not what's going to move the hand of God for you. That's not what's going to move the hand of God. He's looking at your heart. He wants to hear from you. Just give him the praise. Faith and the praise of a thankful heart moves the hand of God and will move the hand of God in your situation. Sometimes when you're in a valley, and if your prayer is just, thank you, Lord, that's enough. That's enough. He knows sometimes the words thank you are a real struggle and a sacrifice of praise for us. God's not looking for an eloquent vocabulary from the heart. God is looking for the attitude of the heart, a heart of thanksgiving. In Romans 8, verses 37, 39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no greater love than the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the love got to do with it?
Everything.
In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, Max Lucado, he tells about about living as an American in Brazil. One day, as he was walking along the street on his way to the university to teach a class, he felt a tug on his pant leg. Turning around, he saw a little boy about 5 or 6 years old, with dark, beady eyes, a dirty little face. That little boy looked up at the big American and said, "Bread, sir?" He was a little beggar boy. And Lakito said, "There are always little beggar boys in the streets of Brazil. Usually I turn away from them because there are so many of them, and you can't feed them all. But there was something so compelling about this little boy that I couldn't turn away. So taking his hand, I said, 'Come with me,' and I took him into the coffee shop. Max told the owner, 'I'll have a cup of coffee and give the boy a piece of pastry, whatever he wants.' Since the coffee counter was at the other end of the store, Max walked on and got a cup of coffee, forgetting about the little boy because beggar boys usually get the bread and then they run out into the streets and they disappear. But this one didn't. After he got his pastry, he went over to the big American and just stood there until Lakito felt his staring eyes. And he turned around. I looked at him. Standing up, his eyes just about hit my belt buckle. Then slowly his eyes came up until they met mine. The little boy, holding his pastry in one hand, looked up and said, "Thank you, sir. Thank you very much." Max said, "I was so touched by the boy's thanks that I would have bought the store for him." I sat there for 30 minutes, late for my class, just thinking about a little beggar boy who came back and said, "Thank you." So I can only imagine our Heavenly Father, how He feels like that. He feels the same way when we express that gratitude of thanksgiving for the things that He does for us. And He's given us the bread. Bread of life. As Christians, we have been given the greatest gift ever given to humanity, the gift of salvation and that of a Savior who promised us eternal life. So as we look to the soon and coming Christmas day, remember it's a day in which mankind received the greatest gift of all. In Luke, it reads, "For to you is born this day in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you by which you will recognize him. You will find him after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." It took a baby. And the song, "A Baby Changes Everything." A baby changed everything. Changed everything for you and I. We're no longer lost. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Glenn Campbell's song, "The Greatest Gift of All," says it so well. "I can feel his love. He has touched my heart, and the spirit dove came and will not part. He beseeches me to listen as he reaches me with wisdom. What he teaches me is the greatest gift of all. From heaven up above is the love that he gives to all. Doesn't matter where you've been, he forgives the greatest sin with his love that he gives to all." What's love got to do with it? Everything. See, if you've received the greatest gift of all, the best way to enjoy the gift is by giving it away. Regifting the gift and helping someone else to know and to receive the gift. So I can tell you, this holiday season, regifting is okay. Regift the gift of Christ to you. Amen? Thank you.